Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let's all read. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. See, we personalize it when we say it, when we close the service. But that's not exactly what's written in the verse. It's not I, it's you. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. But it's good to personalize it, and we will continue to do so. That verse contains God's instructions to one of the most successful people in the Bible, by name Joshua. And in the next few weeks, we will unlock the different statements in that verse. This young man, Joshua, grew up in slavery, in poverty, and in an environment that was characterized by mediocrity. He was an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, and all of them as a nation were in Egypt, and they were slaves. Low-class human beings lived in the slums, and then God brought them out. The point I'm trying to make is that those issues that characterized Joshua's upbringing, God wanted to give him and all the people in Israel a completely different lifestyle, a different outcome. But then these issues that Joshua was dealing with were not personal to him. They were cultural problems. Being poor, or being slaves, or living in mediocrity, living poor quality lives, was their lifestyle. That was how they lived. That was what they knew. He was born into it. Just to sensitize us to the fact that most people in our world today deal with the same issues, and that they are cultural problems. There are countries, there are communities, there are even families that have a culture of poverty. It's the way of life. People don't realize when they're trying to solve those problems that they are dealing with cultural problems. And cultural problems are difficult to deal with. Jesus made a statement to the people of his day. He said, "You, through your traditions, have made the word of God of no effect." That's a powerful statement for Jesus to admit that when culture comes in, tradition and culture, they can make the word of God of no effect. Let me put it this way. Culture can eat revelation for lunch. Culture can frustrate the effects of even the gospel, of the Bible in the person's life. That's what Jesus is saying. God can be speaking to someone like this and the person's life will not change because of culture. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 shows us what culture did to the Israelites. Because most of the adult generation that came out with Joshua from Egypt never entered the promised land. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest," that is God's rest, "some of you should seem to come short of it." Verse 2 says, "For unto us was the word preached, as well as unto them." He said, "But the word that was preached did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith." in those who had it. I will add, it was mixed with culture. Culture is so strong. So this was what Joshua was dealing with. This was what the people around him were dealing with. And God wanted to turn things around. So let's take a look at Joshua 1:8, and we will start with the first line, this book of the law. So I want us to discuss the book and the law. So first, the book. If you want to be able to fulfill God's goals for your life, which is our definition of success, if you want to ever be able to realize your potentials, you must value information. The God of the Bible is a God of the book, and he is a God of books. If God will be able to transform your life, you must value information. Information is the key to transformation in God's economy. Jesus quoted Moses. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why were they, two of the most powerful people who ever lived on this planet, why were they comparing the words that proceed from the mouth of God with bread or with food? If I ask you, your physical body, where did it come from? What would you say? Some people are so spiritual, they will say heaven. I say, that's a big lie. That's rice, beans, bread, potatoes, chicken. Everything that formed your human body came from your food. The quality of your body can't be better than the quality of your food. And your food came from the soil. So if we break down your body, everything in your body is from the soil. Am I correct? Absolutely. About 67% of your body is water. The rest is food. And Jesus is saying the way food forms your physical body is the way words, information, forms your spirit, your insight. The quality of your person, your character as a person, cannot be better than the quality of information that is available to you. If God told you that, believe it, he designed you. If you're going to succeed God's way, you must value information. Look at that word, information. Break it up in two. You have in and you have formation. This is the thing that forms you inside. It doesn't matter whether you are aware of it or not. Good. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 now can make sense to us. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. What is that addressing? Culture. The way of life. If you are going to experience improvement in your life, God's way, you have to run against what you have been used to. What has conditioned you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Do you like that word? Do you want to experience it? I love it. Transformed. That word transformed is from the Greek word in the Greek Bible, metamorpho. Has the same root in Latin as metamorphosis. How many people like metamorphosis? I like especially the last part, the metamorphosis of the butterfly. I like the last part. From caterpillar to butterfly. I like that part. That something that was crawling and had many legs can withdraw into a cocoon and something will happen to it. And by the time it breaks out and comes out, it's not crawling anymore. It is flying. I like that. That's somebody's story here this morning. Yeah. And do not be conformed to this world. So you have to get ready to run against what is popular, what is culture. He says, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like this. If you will ever be able to realize God's vision, God's dreams for your life, you have to change your thinking. The quality of your life can't be better than the quality of your thoughts. This is God speaking. If he had another way, he would have told you. This is it. Let me read it from the New Living Translation. Romans 12:2, New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. That's culture, isn't it? You know, many people around here don't realize that poverty is a culture. And it is part of our culture. Don't copy. Why? Children copy. Don't children copy? Why did you stand up to walk as a child? Because you saw everybody else walking. You were crawling. And then you saw people were not going around on fours, only two. So you two held something to stand up so that you could look like everybody else. Unfortunately, when you tried to take a few steps, you saw it was not that easy. And when you persisted, you found out you could do it. We grew by copying. But it wasn't only that we copied. Copied everything. The emotions, the sentiments, the mindsets, the thoughts, the belief systems. The belief that it is money you use to get money. The belief that, and the emotion, in fact, belief at an emotional level that it is difficult to get money. Money. All that is culture. And we don't realize where poverty is prevalent that we grew up with it. When a tree grows, it draws on the soil to grow itself. What is in the soil is what is in the tree. What's in the environment is what's in our mindsets. So don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. My encouragement this morning, please, take time this week to think about the way you think. It's only us human beings that God gave the gift to do that. We call it self-awareness. Only the human being can come out of himself and look at his life. I'm encouraging you to do so because most people don't. They're not aware. Take time to think about the way you think. Is that the best way you could think? If you would like to improve, I encourage you to make a choice to change your thinking, to upgrade. When you change your thinking, you have changed your life. How do I change my thinking? Oh, read the Bible, this book. And as you read the Bible, your objective should be to align your thinking with the way God thinks. It will make you extraordinary. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Life will become cheaper for you. You're not getting it. When you think the way God thinks, life will be cheaper for you. Miracles will be common day occurrences for you. It won't be as difficult as you think to get money. Let me give you an example. Make it an objective to think the way Jesus thought when he was on earth. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Any challenge you have. If it is money, just go read through those four books and ask yourself, how did Jesus think about money? How did he solve his own problems, financial problems? Let me give you an example. John chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus was looking at the crowd, hungry. So John 6, verse 5 says that Jesus turned to Philip and said, Philip, where will we get bread for all these people to eat? Verse 6 says, this he said to test him, for he knew within himself what he would do. So Jesus, that's amazing. And Jesus went, now Philip's brain went to money. And Philip came back and said, sir, the money is not enough. And Jesus went ahead and fed that crowd. I want to think at that level. When you think at that level, you won't cry over lack of money anymore. Jesus didn't think like that. Why should God be frustrated or angry or depressed that there is no money? Can you think about it? When you think at God's level, you will live an extraordinary life. He knew within himself what he would do. So when they came and said, there's a boy here that has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he said, bring them. And then he said, he took the bread and the fish, looked up to heaven, gave thanks and broke it and said, take, give it to people to eat. Wow. You take bread, you give thanks, you break, you give. People are fed, everybody is fed, and you have 12 baskets left. Amazing. Someone says, that was Jesus. It's not that easy. That's what I'm saying. Since you have refused to think at that level, you can't get the same results. You know, one of the major challenges that we have, especially in our part of the world, is the fact that the culture does not help us to believe that success can be easy. Ah, it's not easy. Have you heard that before? Read the Bible and let your goal be to align your thinking with God's thinking. You know, I was reading many years ago, and I came across a verse. Where was it? I think Psalm 92, verse 5. Oh Lord, how great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just gave me light. Oh, Lord, how great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. So the Holy Spirit told me, can you see? There's a connection between the thoughts of God and the works of God. And he said, great works are products of deep thoughts. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because one of the major problems of poor people and people who struggle in this life is that they don't value information. And they don't realize that there's a connection between their results and the way they think. So, read the Bible. Read books. Books written by people who have upgraded their thinking, people who are getting better results than you have, or people who are specialists or experts in their areas, read their books. Listen to audios, loads of them. That has changed my life. I could write a whole book on it. Listen to audios. When I buy an audio message, I'm investing in my life, investing in my thinking. Okay? Watch the videos. And some of them are even free on the internet. It's amazing. Get education. Don't let someone who does not value information talk you out of taking that course. Because that's what happens in poor communities. You have people who discourage you, tell you, it's a lie. You know what? When someone, you upgrade your education, the gap between you and the person who didn't expands. And every year, the gap widens. Every year, the gap widens. Get education if you need to and if you can. So that's the book. Let's talk about the law. And I have a few minutes to do that. So as you read the book, that's the Bible, and you read books, what should you look for? Principles. Principles, or we also call them laws. A law is a universal fact. There are laws of nature. They are facts everywhere on this planet. Example, I hold this card, I leave it, it goes down. Amazing. What made it go down? Why didn't it stay suspended? Or why didn't it even go up? The law of gravity. So in case I think this city has problems, that's why it's going down. I fly to Beijing, China. I leave it. What will happen? It will go down. I think, wow, I think they have problems here too. So I take it to London, England. I leave it. It will come down. That establishes a universal fact, something that holds true everywhere. That establishes the presence of a law. So each law has power, energy. When you satisfy the conditions, the power kicks in. Okay? Let me mention very quickly some things about laws. Number one, they don't change. Laws don't change. So if you want to build your life on something that is stable, it's better to build your life on principles or the laws. Two, there are different laws that govern different areas of life. So as you have the laws of nature, you have laws that govern success. There are what you call the laws of the farm. There you have the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow orange, you will reap apple. Am I right? No, I was trying to get your attention, just to be sure you were listening to me. That is the law of reproduction. Kind begets kind. It's a law. Except you interfere with the process. It's a law. Good. So there are laws that govern success also. So when you read, look for principles, look for laws like that. They make success predictable. In exactly 1 year's time, if I hold this card and I leave it, what will happen? Where will it go? Down. That's it. Move the issue of success in your life to the realm of principles. Success will become predictable. So you don't need a prophet to say, she. If you drop that card, it will go down. Thus saith the Lord. That card, it is down that it will go. Saith the word of the Lord. Prophet, you wasted your time. I knew that before. Good. So you can prophesy your own success. You can predict. If you build your life on principles. Hear what Jesus said about principles. Matthew 7:24. He who hears these sayings of mine and who does them. He said, I will show you who he is like. He's like a wise man who wanted to build his house and dug deep and found a rock. That's how he described principles. Rock. And built his house on it. He said, when the rain fell, the wind blew. You know, the floods came and the wind blew vehemently. Seriously, again, he said the house did what? Stood. So, building your life on principles takes you away from the realm of luck. You create your luck. Your luck is consistent. And when luck is predictable, it's no longer luck. Abby, I am permanently lucky. Another thing about laws, they have no respect for persons. Whether you are white or you are black or anything in between, if you sow orange, you will reap orange, sir. Laws have no respect for persons. If the president of Nigeria and the president of Venezuela and the president of the United States all stand on the balcony of a 10-story building and the three of them jump at the same time, the law of gravity will not discriminate. If you think very well about that, that's good news for the poor man. That's good news for the person at the low level. Just before you believe that life is unfair, God wants some people to succeed, some other people were not destined to succeed, you just realize you're lying. There are some things that God put on this earth that put all of us on equal pedestal. And if you are smart, you will go leverage on them. Go leverage on them. Good. Alignment with laws fills your life with miracles. Alignment with laws fills your life with what? Miracles. I mean, I put a seed of corn in the soil. And then after a short while, it changes and begins to grow. Or it's the seed of an orange. It grows into a tree. I don't understand that. It's an invisible power that enters it, isn't it? Turns it into a tree that can now bear oranges that have seeds inside them, which when I plant will also grow into trees. Now, that's too much for me. That's complicated technology. Amazing. When you build your life on principles, it's like the card. Where is the force? Where is the power that is pulling it down? Electricity. You can hear my voice. You can see me. We have light here because of power, because of electricity. Have you seen electricity before? So when you build your life on principles, you understand how they work, you work with them. Invisible power works in your life every day. Your life is productive. And then when you walk with miracles, with principles, you are creative. Sorry, when you walk with principles, you are creative and innovative. What do I mean? So I take an orange seed, I put it in the soil, walking with the law of sowing and reaping, and it grows into a tree. I just created a tree that has never existed before. It's amazing. So let me wrap this up by drawing our attention back again to culture. Because there are some cultures that value principles, and there are cultures that don't value principles. Let me say this. I said principles don't discriminate. The way principles work for individuals is the way they work for families. It's the way they work for organizations. It's the way they work for whole nations. And most of the nations that are failing in our world or that are not working well are simply not aligned with principles that guarantee success. So when you want to transform a nation, you should ask yourself a question. How do you change the mind of a nation? Then you will appreciate how much work you really have to do. So you won't cut leaves. You will dig out the root of underdevelopment. Anyway, some cultures do not value principles. Most of the underdeveloped countries on this planet, one of their major problems, or even in developed economies, there are communities that are poor and broke. One area they should examine is how much or to what extent they are aligned with principles. I grew up in a culture that does not value principles. It's a culture that believes that the world is controlled by overwhelming and invisible forces. The gods that our forefathers worshipped, very temperamental, can get angry at short notice. So what people learned to do was to plead with them and to appease them. Just plead with them. Because they could get angry at you with short notice and for doing nothing. So if you begged them enough, then they favored you and made things work for you. And they just randomly chose who to prosper. Or who to help? The day you accept the God of the Bible, you must realize you are coming to a God that has chosen to make a part of himself predictable. There is some part he's chosen not to show so that we will not contest with him. But to a large extent, on this planet that he created, he built it on principles so that life can be predictable. We have to shift our thinking. The God of the Bible is a God of principles. So when you understand how the laws of motion work, then you can create a car that will carry you faster than your legs will carry you. Isn't that exciting? When you understand the laws of aerodynamics, how things fly, you can create aircraft that can take you across oceans and across continents in just hours. Isn't that exciting? So people who live in cultures that do not value principles don't create anything. They are anointed consumers of what other people create. Even the blessings, the resources that God has given them, they cannot add value to or refine, because they don't want to think and understand how principles work. So when they have oil, so those who think and who understand how principles work create the technology, buy the oil from you at a price that they dictate, because they know that the oil is useless to you if they don't buy it. You don't know what to do with it. So they decide the price at which they want to buy it. Then they buy it. Then they refine it and bring very useful things out of it. And then sell it back to you at a price that they decide. God help you. It's the way the world works. So as you read the book and you read books, look for principles and look for methods. The principles never change. The methods change. The methods give you ideas so that when you face your own situation, you are armed with different possibilities and scenarios that you can adapt to deal with your own situation. As you act on what we're sharing this morning, because I must go, I prophesy the invisible power of God. And I've experienced that invisible power. The challenge is some people hear a message like this, their problem because of the culture is it that easy to read the book, to read books, to be listening to CD? So that's what will change my life now with what I'm going through. That's what we are talking about. People around here think that the complexity of the solution must match the complexity of the problem. It doesn't work like that when you are dealing with principles. To fly a Boeing 747, jumbo jet, massive, it's the equivalent of a story building, and to carry it and fly thousands of kilometers and for hours and to land on the other side, you don't need physical energy. You need sense. It's just buttons that you press and the thing will go up. Life is not hard. We're used to hard life. Be delivered from hard life. So I can read it. When the average person around here comes to me as a pastor, I can read it. They're expecting me to give them prescription, to give them ideas that will be hard, instructions that will be hard, until I measure how many all night vigil they must do, and measure how many days they must fast, until I give them something hard. They don't think I'm anointed. They don't believe it will work. I understand it. So some of us, when we are sick and we go to the hospital, until the doctor recommends injection, the one they will put on your bum that will pain you, they don't believe that the doctor is effective or he knows what he's doing. That one. And in fact, there are injections and there are injections. That's what I discovered. There are some people who tell the doctor the one they want. That one. There's one of them called Procaine. When they give you, your limbs go numb for some minutes. You won't be able to use that leg for some minutes. There's also Analgene. So there are some people who say, doctor, no, all those ones, you are... That one, that hot one, that one, yes. So when they give it and the leg goes, they say, hey. Yeah, so there are people, our simple prayer won't work. Read book, it won't work. Read book, okay. I am prophesying. As you act on what we're sharing this morning, the invisible power of God, the power that raised Christ from death, will engage your life. Yeah. As I am speaking right now, the Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Every spirit of disease under the sound of my voice goes in the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy the next 30 days, you'll see miracles. Yeah. What was hard before today will come easy. In the name of Jesus Christ, the book that has the information that will change your life, God will bring it across your way. When you read the Bible, God will open your eyes. You will see things you never saw before. You will see your destiny. Simple obedience to simple instructions from God will bring breakthroughs into your life. And I prophesy this is the beginning of restoration. Restoration. Amen. Restoration. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This month you will have exciting and outstanding testimonies. Amen. I pray for the person in this service who says, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with God. Can you pray for God to forgive me my sins? I want to do that very quickly. Because there's a law there. Kind begets kind. And spiritually there are only two natures. God's nature and Satan's nature. Satan's nature is the nature of sin. And anyone who has that, anyone born of Adam into this world, a descendant of Adam, is born with the nature of sin. It becomes inevitable. We must sin because the nature is there. So the day we accept Jesus died, paid for our sins on the cross, God forgives us and then removes the nature. That's what God is about to do now. And puts his own nature in us. If you're that honest person who says, Pastor, pray for me that God should forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I want to say a short life-changing prayer for you. The prayer I prayed many years ago that changed my life forever, and I will never regret I prayed it. Pastor, pray with me that God should forgive my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? And perhaps you've said the prayer before, but you've backslidden into sin, and you know it. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart as we pray? God bless you. Good. This is an amazing opportunity. This is change, massive change in your life. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. Thank you for sins forgiven. Thank you for this massive miracle of change in their lives. Teach them to know you and to love and serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name.